Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the continued message from the Word of God on the precious theme, the God of my life. We pray earnestly that every listening friend will be able to say truthfully, I know that He is the God of my life. To any man, woman, boy, and girl who may refuse to believe that there is a God, the Bible, God's precious word, describes every such a person as a fool. For we read in the Word of God, the fool hath said in his heart, no God. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53 verse 1. So that our earnest prayer as we come to you today is that you are not found in this category. God forbid. We have noted in our studies why each person should acknowledge God as the God of my life. We name them again. First, God made me with His hands, as we found in Psalm 119 and verse 73. Second, God sees me with His eyes, as we read in Genesis 16 and 13. Third, God thinks of me with His mind, as we noted in Psalm 40 and verse 17. Fourth, God loves me with His heart. Precious truth, found in Galatians 2:20, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, and particularly in that well-known and incomparable verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My beloved listener, let these precious truths reach into the depths of your heart and into your mind. Say to yourself on the basis of God's holy word these blessed facts. First, I am the object of His divine creation. Second, I am the object of His divine observation. Third, I am the object of His divine consideration. And fourth, I am the object of divine affection, wonder of wonders. God loves even me. But that is not all. There is something else. For I am also the object of divine redemption. Let me quote the words from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where we learned in our preceding message of the love of the Son of God. Paul wrote to say, the Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. My beloved, let me say, 'twas not only that God made me, 'twas not only that God sees me, 'twas not only that God thinks of me, nor that God loves me. Please note, God Himself had to redeem me. He came down from heaven. God incarnate, God made in human flesh, cradled in Bethlehem's manger, born of the Virgin Mary. No angel could redeem my soul. No man could ever save my soul and deliver you nor me from hell. Then is He not the God of my life? He most certainly is, and even more. He's the God of my salvation. My beloved, do you not remember that Joseph, who was espoused to the Virgin Mary, was told by the angel concerning the birth of Christ? His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. The one whose birthday may be celebrated at this time of the year by many in this world, He was none other than God Himself, taking our humanity in order to be the sinless, the perfect, and the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. Have you never read the words of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3? telling of God's Son, who is co-equal and co-eternal in the great triune Godhead. By Himself, He purged our sins. The same blessed One who made me, the same blessed One who sees me, the same blessed One who thinks of me, the same blessed One who loves me, He gave Himself for me. Oh, my beloved, if you are being reminded of the birth of Christ around you today, will you not realize who He is? Above all, He came to be your Savior and mine. He came to redeem you and me, not only to make you to know Him as the God of my life, but to know Him as the divine Savior for your soul and for mine. My beloved, you and I must be in a very sad condition of soul when we consider it necessitated the great Creator Himself to come down from heaven to save us, to die and pay the penalty for our sins. My beloved, may I say that the coming of the Lord Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament again and again. Isaiah the prophet foretold it. Isaiah foretold who would come to save us in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, as well as Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Micah, another prophet, told where he would be born, as you may read in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Then the Old Testament prophets, they also informed us when he would be born. And this was prophesied by Daniel the prophet in Daniel 9:25. But best of all, why did he come? Ah, he would come as a sacrifice for our sins. That was the burden of the prophecy in the writings of Moses, in the writings of all the prophets, as well as in the Psalms. You can quickly prove that by reading chapter 24 in the Gospel of Luke, verses 26 and 27. On that occasion when the Lord Jesus walked and talked with two of the disciples who were on the Emmaus Road, oh, on that occasion he opened the Scriptures and he spoke to them how Christ ought to suffer these things and then to go into his glory. And beginning at Moses and going through the Psalms and the prophets, he proved that the Messiah, the God of Israel, the God of your life and my life, had to come and die for our sins. My beloved friend, though you and I may celebrate the birth of Jesus, let us not forget that He came to die for our sins. Well did the Christian poet write the words, "There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has He loved, and we should love Him too. And trust in His redeeming blood, then seek His will to do." My beloved, as you think of Christ, we know that He was very God as well as very man. And coming into this world, take in the words of the beloved Apostle Paul telling us why He came. We not only value who came, we not only value the fact where He would come, and when He would come, but oh, most of all, the great important thing, why He came. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all, everyone accepting it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Was it not necessary that the chiefest of 10,000 in heaven nor on earth had to come down from heaven to the earth to save the chief of sinners? Oh, my beloved friend, take the truth in. They are undeniable. He made you and me. He sees you and me. He thinks of you and me. He loves you and me. But in the person of God the Son, He came from heaven to die in order to save you and to save me. My beloved friend, if you will be truthful and honest, surely you would say today, He is the God of my life. The one who made me, sees me, thinks of me, loves me, and now I learn that He died for me. Surely I can receive Him as my Savior and as my Lord. And if you have never done it before, my friends, we beg that you would do it now. Let me remind you of what the angel Gabriel told the mother of Jesus concerning His birth. I quote from Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 33. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, my beloved, the one we've been seeking to reveal from the Word of God, take in his greatness. He's going to be the king over all the universe in the day of his coming again. My beloved, can I refuse to say to him, Thou art the God of my life? God forbid. For my beloved friend, if never before, will you right now accept your God as your Savior and make Him the God of your life for time and for all eternity? Blessed Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for the revelation of Thy truth. From the beginning of our creation to the wonderful truth that we have covered today, the truth of our redemption by the coming of Thy Son into this world to die for our sins. Oh, may truthfully every listener say, He is the God of my life for time and eternity. Amen.